You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Broadway Gives Back podcast. I'm your host, Jan Svensson. This podcast spotlights Broadway actors, shows, and organizations in their pursuit of social impact and philanthropy. Join us as some of the brightest lights on Broadway share their stories about their favorite charities and how they got involved, and the people and the causes who benefited from these philanthropic efforts. My next guests are two powerhouse women who founded the new Museum of Broadway in Times Square. Julie Boardman is a two-time Tony Award-winning producer. She is currently a co-producer on Funny Girl, and her other Broadway credits include An American in Paris, Carousel, Company, Indecent, and The Inheritance. Julie is a Tony voter, a member of the Broadway League, and is on the theater committee at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts and the Musical Theater Advisory Board for University of Southern California. Go Trojans. Diane Nicoletti is a creative director, producer, and entrepreneur. For two decades, she has produced some of the biggest events and fan experiences for Game of Thrones, Super Bowl, Comic-Con, and South by Southwest. As a founder of her award-winning experiential marketing agency, she has worked on Deadpool, Frozen, American Horror Story, among others. Why did I want these women on Broadway Gives Back? Because their museum gives back to the Broadway community and to Broadway fans everywhere. Julie, Nicole, welcome to the Broadway Gives Back podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's so nice for you guys to be here. So I know Julie a little bit. Diane, I don't know you very well, and our listeners don't know you very well at all. So I thought maybe before we begin our discussion about the museum and about giving back, we could get to know you a little bit better. So I thought maybe a few rapid-fire questions would be fun to do.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to start with you, Julie. What are three words that describe you?
I think I'm disruptive, like good at networking and I don't know. Those are two words, I guess.
I like the disruptive. What is your favorite, now that it's holiday season, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
I love like the holidays and just singing like Christmas carols in my apartment, actually. Normally it's like Broadway show tunes, but during December, it changes a bit.
What's the best advice you ever received from someone?
Well, it depends. I have a couple like good little ones actually that are coming to mind. You know, one is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, kind of looking at things holistically and, you know, not making rash decisions, trying to, you know, look at the big picture for things. That's been an approach that I've taken in my career in Broadway, kind of getting to know everyone and realizing I was on the younger side and female and had hopefully a long journey ahead of me. So just picking shows that I really gravitated towards to be part of for that. You know, not to let anyone down, I guess. So if you say you're going to do something, to make sure you follow through with it. And that's something I've always tried to stick through.
Nice. And what is one thing that you are grateful for today?
Actually, Diane, I'm really grateful. And I couldn't have, you know, this, you know, what we've built wouldn't be possible. Like, you know, we've been friends for 20 years and we went to college together and, you know, we've bit work together, and you know, just I think we help balance each other out, and the highs and the lows, and you know, just having a really great partner by your side who's also your friend. I think
That's so nice. Lucky that
she's gonna make me cry before
question. that's a perfect segue to you, Diane.
Wave away tears.
I'm gonna change up the questions a little bit so you didn't have time to prepare. Tell us two truths and one lie about yourself.
I like ice cream. I had one of my kids on the side of a road, and I went to USC.
Okay. And now tell us, Julie, you tell us which one is the lie, since you know Diane so well.
I would say she does not like ice cream.
Is that true?
She definitely had a child on the side of the road.
Oh my God. All right. That is a story for another podcast.
Another time.
And I want to hear it.
Yes.
That's great. Diane, can you share with us one of the New Year's resolutions that you're going to make this year?
I think coming off of this wonderful project to have balance in my life with my family and friends and work and everything. So, but still being very dedicated to the museum. Don't worry.
What is one thing that you're most proud of? I know you're proud of a lot of things, but what's like today, what's hitting you like that you're most proud of?
I think honestly, opening the museum and doing it with Julie, it's the biggest accomplishment professionally that I've had in my life. Obviously, I love my kids and I love my family and I'm proud of them. But, you know, it's in terms of an accomplishment, I would definitely say the museum.
And then I'll ask you the same question. What are you most grateful for today?
Well, now I'm definitely saying Julie. That would be a jerk move if I didn't.
So. All right. So you guys have been friends since college, which is so cool. So Julie, can you share one thing that you have learned from Diane that you kind of keep with you in your everyday life, or one trait that she has that's like most meaningful to you?
Yeah, Diane and I, we've been friends for such a long time. I think she's really good about keeping people on track and a schedule and making sure things happen, where I can get like into the ideas and the stuff. And she's like, okay, so which one are we going to do? She keeps it moving and on track. So
a taskmaster.
Yeah.
I like that. Diane, it's your turn. What is one trait of Julie? Is there something that you've learned from her that makes your life better?
I think she looks at life and projects differently than anyone else I've ever met. And it took me a little while to get used to that, to be honest, but it always produced better results.
Now you're trying to make me cry.
Well, this is going to be a mushy, you know, sort of holiday session here, but I want to talk about the museum and I want to talk about the giving back aspect of the museum. But first, for those of you who have not heard, are living under a rock, the Museum of Broadway is now open and it's this incredible, immersive and interactive theatrical experience. And it's devoted to musicals and plays and the people who create them. You guys at the museum, you feature works from dozens of different designers and artists and theater historians. And it's really a one-of-a-kind space to experience Broadway. There's a timeline of Broadway that sort of takes us through birth to present day, where the past, the present, and the future kind of all come together. So my first question, just to set the stage, pun intended, is can you tell us the story of the development or the timeline of putting this museum together?
So as we said, Diane and I have been friends for a very long time. And I, you know, I grew up as a huge fan of Broadway and was performing and all of these things. And I switched into the producing side in my late 20s and have been working consistently on Broadway shows. And I was in a conversation with one of my investors, actually, who was like, why isn't there a Broadway museum? And I was like, I don't know. And it sort of went in one ear and out the other at that moment, but it must have stuck because then later Diane and I were having, I think just having like drinks to catch up or something. And we were talking about various experiences and what's happening in life and pop culture. And it kind of became this aha moment, if you will, where we were like, oh, what if you took, because I've also worked with Diane when she's producing all of these incredible fan experiences. I would help staff and on-site manage. I had a staffing company for many, many years, I guess up until COVID. COVID might have killed my staffing agency. So we would work together. I'd hire all of these out-of-work Broadway actors to work on these fan experiences. And so it's sort of the start of the Museum of Broadway, actually, because, you know, it's taking this brand, be it a TV show or a movie or whatnot, or and then bringing it to life. And so as we were brainstorming over cocktails,
always the best way to brainstorm, by the way.
Always the best. Yes, always the best way to brainstorm. And so we were like, oh, what if you were to take the history of Broadway and then even further, like, how do you make a Broadway show? Because most people don't know, but you did it in the way of, an experiential, an attraction, if you will, experience that you're like walking through and it comes to life around you. And, when you get to Oklahoma, you're walking through an immersive cornfield and you're like transported into these different shows. What if you were to do it like that? And so it was kind of this, we're like, oh, that's great. But we hadn't settled quite on the idea at that point. And we went through a lot of different whiteboarding to figure out like, what was the story we wanted to tell? Where, we're two millennial, like on the cusp, I guess we're both 40. People seem to ask lately, so be upfront about it. We're two millennial women who have this idea to create this, museum dedicated to Broadway, and do it in the way that people like to kind of experience things nowadays. And so making it very current. And so I think we had like a different perspective than had anyone else had done this in the past. And so we looked at it kind of through that lens and, different social issues and things, we were able to bring our viewpoint and perspective, I guess, in as we were creating this. We looked at a lot of things through the lens, like when we finally got to the final, like what would the experience be for people when they're walking through? As you're walking through the timeline of Broadway, it's really centered around this idea of we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. So had people not pioneered and pushed ground and taken risks in the art form that is Broadway, we wouldn't have what we have today. And the shows that are so incredibly popular today wouldn't be possible or look like they do because, they exist because this art form has been developed over the years. So we kind of started like workshopping what that could look like and how to organize the content and make sure it's a really great experience. So the museum is broken into three main areas. The first is the map room. Right before you get to it, you're in everything, we call it the playbill room, and it's everything that's currently running on Broadway today. It's very Switzerland. So every show, a lot of people don't know that there are 41 Broadway theaters. They just know like the major titles. Mm-hmm. And so we want to give everyone the same exposure to the play that's just open, to the big running show,
So you're updating that every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because shows are opening and closing. Yeah.
Exactly. So you start there and then there's a door. It says, let's start at the very beginning. And you go back in time into the map room, which takes you through, the theater history, because a lot of people don't realize in New York City, the theaters actually started downtown in the financial district where people first settled and then migrated north to Longacre Square, which then became Times Square in the early 1900s. So we tell that story through about a 4-minute video through projection mapping onto a deconstructed cityscape. Jen Tepper helped curate the content and Julie James has done the voiceover, the Broadway Sinfonietta, recorded music. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun and it's brightly colored. Everything that's the history, we make it not spinach, I guess, if that makes sense, but it still has the content. Then you start walking this timeline of Broadway, starting in the 1700s when the first documented theater performance in New York happened, all the way through to present day. And then as you're walking through the timeline, we have traditional timeline walls that have been curated by Ben West that cover plays, musicals, these groundbreaking moments that have happened in our history, milestone moments, but it also clocks you what was happening socially at the same time. So, you know, when the Vietnam War happened and things like that. So you're like looking at history and staying on the timeline as you go through. And then when we get to certain shows that have helped to essentially transform the landscape of Broadway, there's an exhibit dedicated to that show designed by either an artist or a Broadway scenic designer to bring it to life. And so we'll get into that a little bit more in a second, I think. But you're getting the show, history, you're understanding why it's, you know, some of the shows that are being highlighted. And then it's coupled with like artifacts and costumes and props and, you know, lyric sketches and things. So it goes like that all the way until you get to present day. And then when you're at present day, you knock on a stage door and you go backstage into the making of a Broadway show designed by David Rockwell. And Broadway.com is presented that room. And you go into this world and you get to see, you don't have to be an actor. You could do all of these different jobs that are all part of Broadway. And if you're, you know, really interested in math, you could become a general manager. And, you know, you could, there are so many things people just don't know. And so we want to expose them to all these different career paths that someone might be able to have and still work in Broadway. And then we also have a special exhibit that will rotate and a gift shop, where we feature, you know, something from every current running show. We have a shop within a shop with the Hirschfeld Foundation, which is our first special exhibit. We have stuff from Broadway Cares, a bunch of our different partners. We have scenery bags. It's, you know, small businesses. So we're like trying to, you know, we're a small business, lots of small business. We're just, you know, we want to, you know, highlight people who are doing incredible work, I think. We also have a studio space where we can do a lot of like classes and talks, panel discussions. It could be a kid's birthday party or a cocktail party too. So we've got a lot going on at the Museum of Broadway. that's for sure. I was just going to share one other thing that we haven't brought up yet, which I think is pretty cool, is when you're walking through the timeline, when you're in the museum walking through the timeline, we actually pause when we get into the 80s. You know, Broadway Cares is our charitable partner, but it's more than that. We wanted to make sure that as people were, you know, experiencing the history and walking through the timeline, you know, when you get to the 80s, we stop and pause and reflect, and we have an exhibit dedicated to the AIDS epidemic and those we lost to AIDS or AIDS-related illnesses in the theater community. There's a Red Ribbon installation that Hot Tea has done, and his artist name, and his name is Eric Reger. And then Debbie Millman created this beautiful, it's very harrowing. The first time she showed us her ideas on a Zoom, really won't embarrass Diane, but she started crying. She got really emotional. And that's how, you know, it's meant to hit you like that when you're walking through, because the museum is like bright and colorful and neon and sequins and fun. And as you're going through, and you know, there, when you're in hair, you're like swinging on a swing, and you know, like it's very fun. And then you get to the 80s, and we want people to remember. And so, you know, we also have the AIDS quilt. Broadway Cares has loaned it to us to display from back in the 80s. You know, they're, it's really beautiful, and it's signed by so many people in the theater community. And then it describes, you know, their work and what they do. But we also have a plaque that reminds people that it's actually still continuing today. It's just not talked about as much. So, you know, just to kind of get people to remember. And, you know, then you continue on the timeline and your journey. But we just wanted that experience for people.
Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for doing that. That's so important.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When I worked at the Broadway League for all those years, you know, there were so many people that came and pitched to me about this idea of a museum for Broadway, which I thought was an incredible idea. But like, there was never the right idea. Like, I am so impressed with what you women have done. It's just, it's so incredible. And we'll get into more of the details later, but I just wanted to say that. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Diane, anything you want to add or augment to what Julie has said about just an overview of the museum?
Yeah, I mean, Julie kind of hit all of like the major things. I mean, going into like the journey of it was just a lot of building blocks too. You know, it looking at it, we had to have the big picture, but at the same time, like, we needed to segment it out so we could actually execute it too, right? Mm-hmm. Because it can get really daunting if you look at it too big picture. It's like, well, we could never do that. So then we would just take like pieces at a time and be like, well, we can't accomplish this right now. This is going to have to wait till later. And even now we're still doing the same thing. We want to do more programming and everything with the museum, but we always said we would wait until we opened and then we would start, you know, doing that next. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the biggest part of taking on something of this magnitude, if you will, of always just kind of taking it in chunks, if you will, so that we could actually make it happen. So
it's amazing. I love the idea that you guys have founded this museum in collaboration with so many different partners and stakeholders, because it is important to include the community, and but especially the several not-for-profit organizations that you've involved, like Broadway Cares and the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts and the Al Hirschfeld Foundation. Can you explain sort of the rationale behind partnering with the 501c3 orgs?
I was going to say, I think we always wanted the museum to, you know, I think the social good piece of it, like, we always knew that it needed to give back, and it should give back. And we're so incredibly like thrilled and honored to have Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS as our charitable partner, that we donate a portion of all of the proceeds to them from all the ticket sales. So every time someone buys a ticket, or, you know, we're donating part of that to Broadway Cares. And in the beginning, as we were like whiteboarding and kind of figuring everything out, we did go around and meet with kind of the people who run all of those organizations behind Broadway, just to make sure everyone was like excited about, you know, or open to rather, like, the idea of having the Museum of Broadway exist in like the ecosystem of Broadway. And it is very much like a fan, you know, people who love Broadway are coming, but also people who work inside Broadway are coming, and everyone's been having like a really great, you know, different experience, because mm-hmm. everyone seems to have a different entry point in, which is really fun to see. The multi-generational like appeal of what we've created is really, I think, just we're both like really humbled and honored to be the ones to help to tell this story. You know, working with the library, I produced a gala with my friend Nolan Duran during COVID for them to help raise money. There's what they have, the resources. I know there's, you know, the libraries, their funding might get cut. Like, it's you know, without them, this history wouldn't still exist. They just are such a resource and, you know, have so many different people's archives and in their possession. So, you know, they were just a really wonderful partner. And we worked very closely with Doug Reside, who's the curator of the Billy Rose Theater division. So
I just have to ask, what's your dog's name?
Oh, Zola.
Zola. Okay.
Yeah.
Hearing Zola in the background. That was the last time I talked to you, Julie. It was about the gala for the Performing Arts Center. I was just remembering now during COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. You helped us when we auctioned off, I think it's like Neil Simon's writing desk, which is really cool.
Exactly. Diane, probably not a fair question, but is there one exhibit in the museum that is probably like this speaks to you, and I'm sure it probably changes depending on, you know, what you're doing and what you're thinking. That was there one that's sort of personal to you where you feel like, oh, I love this one, it brings tears to my eyes or makes me feel good or something?
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards Phantom because it, and I remember taking my brother to it on opening, and we were crying because we're like, this is like the first show we saw together. There was like a personal memory, if you will. Plus, like, you know, the artist was, all of the artists were lovely, but the German artist that created this, it was just such like a fun story and process with her of making this chandelier out of over 13, almost now 14,000, but like over 13,000 crystals to represent the number of performances that Phantom has run. To me, that was just a really special one, but I do love all the exhibits. So it's my favorite because of a personal memory. So
what I think is really interesting too is that it's a museum for Broadway fans, but it's also a museum for what I would call just sort of the casual theater goer, somebody who goes every couple of years or somebody who's coming to New York and just wants to soak in the New York experience. And what I particularly like is that the museum serves an important purpose in the area of like arts education and culture. You know, I was thinking about it. It's great that you guys have the philanthropic piece of it with Broadway Cares, and we'll get into a little bit more of that later. But this idea of just arts ed and that, you know, students, I can just see student groups coming there and, you know, experiencing this, because we all know that theater is good for education, right? And it helps, you know, STEAM versus STEM and all that. So I can just see how this museum would be so important to the arts education piece of education. I just came back from Berlin, and there's a Jewish museum there, and it reminds me a little bit of you know, this in a way, only because it's very immersive and it's also a timeline, and you break out into these different rooms that and exhibits that are pivotal. And so you feel like you're part of it. But what's interesting is that all German school children go to this museum. You know, it's part of their curriculum. So can you talk a little bit about the arts ed piece of the museum and the goals for that?
Sure. And that also too was, you know, again, sort of segmenting things out, like how we were going to tackle it. We knew that there'd always be an educational component to it. And right now we are building out, you know, workbooks and workshops and things like that, that can be really appealing, attractive, helpful for the education community, for educators. We've also had a lot of, you know, directors come through from the universities. Even we've already had some school groups come in. So people in and of themselves are already seeing it as a great opportunity from an education standpoint, but we're trying to take some additional steps to make it even more so. So more to come on that, but it's definitely a important component for us as we continue to build the museum and what we can offer the community and beyond.
Julie, when you were talking earlier, you talked about how that some of these breakout exhibits highlighted areas where you know, there was social change going on or some kind of political, you know, event happening. And I just wondered, is social responsibility and advocacy going to be integrated into the museum as a concept? So, for example, diversity, inclusion, equity, other important sort of social, cultural, political, and impact issues. How do you envision that being incorporated in the future into the future exhibits at the museum?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually incorporated now because of the the lens, I think, at which we approached the museum in the first place as we were developing it, by highlighting so many people who, as I said before, like pioneered and like trailblazed. There's a lot of history that doesn't often, you know, it's a bit overlooked from time to time. And we, with Ben, like that was something we really wanted to put an emphasis on, was looking at that and highlighting, you know, people who were the first to do X. And, you know, like, you just as we're going through the timeline. So I think it's naturally already baked in just because the three of us have that in our heart, I think. But it is the continuation of it. And but I think it's one piece of, you know, as you're walking through the timeline, again, everyone takes something different away from it. But if you are a storyteller or, you know, writer or, you know, composer, lyricist, aspiring, you know, if that's something that people are looking to do, you can see a lot of the inspiration throughout. And the idea is you can do it too, right? And in order for, basically, I don't know, this is my personal viewpoint at least, but, you know, to build a better tomorrow, if we look at our past and then we examine our present, that's kind of a great way to do that, to be able to build tomorrow. And exposing people to, you know, seeing that it's possible or they could do it too, or, you know, there's a bit of like mentorship that you even get as you're walking through the timeline, you know, mentoring Stephen Sondheim, and then it's Sondheim is, you know, so you just Jonathan Larson, and then that's inspiring Lin-Manuel Miranda. And those are just some very notable examples, I think, but you see that in a more granular scale, I think, as you're like walking through too, and especially in the making of a Broadway show exhibit, you hear from, I think there's somewhere around like 150 interviews with people in that room who do those different jobs. And the questions, Colin, who I did the library event with that I mentioned, he conducted and edited all those videos. The questions that, you know, as part of some of them that, you know, we ventured to ask were, you know, how did you get your start? What was kind of some of the questions you've been asking us, actually, like best advice for someone looking to get into it? What is it that you actually do? And kind of just breaking that down. And then they've been edited together so that, you know, there are these hour long interviews, sometimes half hour long interviews, that, you know, that have been like edited down to bite size so people can get a sense of what it is that these different jobs do. So by exposing people to it, maybe they see, oh, I could do this too. And then they go down this career path, or maybe hopefully, it, you know, if it inspires one person, I think we've accomplished.
Well, that's so important. I mean, professional development is another way of giving back, and you guys certainly help set, you know, create a platform for that. To your point earlier, you know, if I had known, I mean, I realized in seventh grade that I had no talent when I was in Mr. Lachey's theater class growing up here in LA. So I kind of just abandoned the whole thing. And I mean, I was always a theater, casual theater fan, I guess I'll say. But I realized I wasn't going to be on stage. So I realized there was no future for me in there. And it wasn't until I really happened upon, you know, this job being head of marketing for the Broadway League and the Tony Awards, where I went, oh, wow, I wish I had known about this when I was 12, because that would have like really, you know, keyed me in. So all those other jobs and the professional development that you, you know, educate about is so, it's so important. Diane, I wonder, are there any other ideas that you guys have that you, you know, you were talking about sort of step by step, and I love the methodical way that you're going forward, but are there any ideas that you have for the future about ways to incorporate giving back into the museum's DNA?
Yeah, I mean, I do think programming's going to be a big piece of that. And so whether that be striking new conversations for Broadway, we had a really interesting conversation with a bunch of educators that we had come through that were, you know, professors of theater, directors of alumni events and relations, folks that asked very pointed questions about, you know, Broadway, Broadway's history, the future of Broadway, and opening some of those conversations up that we maybe couldn't cover within the museum will be really interesting to, you know, to sort of take that to the next level and cover more information. So, and then also too, that also goes into career advancement or career awareness for different groups of people too, as they go through. But then who knows, like there might be things outside of the four walls, if you will, of the museum that we could explore too, but not quite there yet. But
spoken like an experiential marketing person.
Something in the future, for
ooh,
sure.
Yeah. I feel a fan experience coming soon. speaking of crazy ideas, before this recording of this podcast, we put our heads together and we are going to, here now, in the spirit of the holidays, launch an online auction. And you're hearing it now for the first time. So we are going to auction off online 4 tickets to the museum, plus a little goodie bag for the family, and an exclusive guided tour of the museum by Julie and Diane, too, if you're there. And the money that's raised by this auction is going to go to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. So first of all, thank you for the donation. And this is always nice for me when I can combine my day job with my side gig. So this is awesome. And we will put the link to the auction in the episode page so that people can go on there and bid to win. I wish I could bid on it, but I think that would be a conflict of interest. But I would love to have you give me a guided tour, Julie.
I'd be happy to.
So thank you for that. I always ask my guests a couple things, and I always ask, what advice would you give to listeners of this podcast about becoming what I call everyday philanthropists or activists? You guys have managed to incorporate that in your everyday lives, but also obviously in the work you're doing with the museum. What advice would you give to listeners about how they can become philanthropists or activists?
I feel like I have not done enough to even comment on that. Like, I think that it was a natural incorporation for the museum for us to do something. Like, I guess that would be the advice, is where you can contribute and what you feel comfortable with, what you can do, speaking from the heart, speaking from the mind. But I am by no means, you know, all of the accomplished people when it comes to philanthropy, I definitely don't hold a candle. So I don't know if I am the best expert to give advice on that.
No, but what you just said, Diane, was actually really, really relevant. And that is, like, to do things in a natural, organic way. And no one has said that before, actually. That's a really good comment and a really good note. I'm going to keep that one in the back of my head. So thank you for that. What about you, Julie? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree that what Diane said. I think it's finding ways that you're able to do it in your life, right? And if it's in your heart, and then you know, we saw with the museum, you know, we wanted to do, I guess that's the first thing, is you have to decide to want to. And so with the museum, we were able to do that, and we'll be able to do, you know, continue to do and give back, hopefully, as we move forward. The same. I could say I don't hold a candle either. try to do.
I love what you just said. You have to decide that you want to. That's really important. You have to decide that you want to. Thank you for that. And thank you both for being on this podcast. I really appreciate the time. And everybody should go to this museum. I'm so excited that it's opened. It's in the middle of Times Square. And all the information will be on the episode page. Diane, Julie, thank you for being here, and happy holidays. And I look forward to coming to the museum.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Broadway Gives Back podcast. Broadway Gives Back is part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Special thanks to my producing partner, writer, editor, and friend, Jim Lochner. And thank you to everyone at BPN, including Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, and Kimberly Garris. I'd also like to thank Julian Hills from the Bulldog Agency and Eric Becker from Broderick Street Music. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you stream your podcasts. You can also follow Broadway Gives Back on Facebook and Instagram at Broadway Gives Back Podcast and on Twitter at Broadway Gives. To learn more, visit bpn.fm/Broadway Gives Back. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.